Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I was born down in Mississippi. I was raised up back in the woods. Home, we never had no gourmet meals, but Mama did the best she could. She could whip up a mean pork salad, or some chicken southern style. But my favorite dish that she ever fixed was from the berries that grew wild. And she'd send me out with a bucket when the summer sun got warm. I'd hunt them berries down like my hound hunting coons down on the farm. Those thorns would stick in my fingers till my hands were a bloody sight. But it was worth every drop of blood when I finally got a bite. And baby, your love is a lot like blackberry cobbler, and I can't get enough. I could eat it for breakfast, I could eat it for dinner, even supper wouldn't be too much. Back home I'm known as a cobbler gobbler. I sure do love that stuff. And your love's a lot like blackberry cobbler, and I sun up to sundown. A berry as sweet as your two lips this boy has never found. You can ask my mama, my brothers and my sisters and my daddy, will tell you straight. When it comes to eating cobbler, honey, I will always claim my place. Baby, your love's a lot like blackberry cobbler, and I can't get enough.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters and a Twisted Mister or two. Hope everyone's having a good week so far. I know it's early, it's only Tuesday, but I hope everyone has a better week to follow. Absolutely. Hey, Pam, how goes it?
Going great. How's it going with you?
You know, if it was any better, I'd be twins. No, that's the standard.
Awesome.
Some things don't change no matter even if the year changes.
Oh,
so what's
right.
Going on?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But all in all, it's been a great day, relaxing and, all that fun stuff. Yeah. And, of course, now looking forward to a great night of hanging out with you and other cool poets and, reading through poetry and all that fun stuff.
Right. Well, that sounds like a wonderful night to me, an absolutely wonderful night. We have a caller, but I have to inform them that they are not calling in with their standard normal way of calling in. So I want to make sure they're aware.
Oh, yeah. I did message her.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, tell us about your topic board, your topic for
the week. Absolutely. So I happened to come across an article online, the 10 most famous fruit paintings. Fruit has often been used throughout history as a medium for still life painting because of the variation in coloring in fruit. It allows for artists to practice shading that, it comes across in a lot of still life paintings. And such famous artists as Paul Cézanne and John Singer Sargent and Claude Monet, they all have done still life paintings, using fruit. And so I thought I didn't use all 10, but I used like 8 or so of them, I think. I can't remember how many I used. Take the paintings and put them in a contest along with some quotes about fruit, such as, "He that would eat the fruit must climb the hill," or, "When eating a fruit, think of the person who planted the tree." Or I even, put in some humorous ones. Like, this was one of my favorites that I liked. I like fruit baskets because it gives you the ability to mail someone a piece of fruit without appearing insane. Like, if someone just mailed you an apple, you'd be like, "Huh? What the?" But if it's in a fruit basket, you're like,
"Yeah, that's funny."
So, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. But it was great to see because we got 18 rights in the contest. And it was just really great to see how people took the responses. And the great thing about fruit is it works real well metaphorically. Or you can just simply write about your favorite. There was plenty of options out there.
Right. That makes sense to me. Sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
And hey, Naomi, welcome aboard.
Hello. Hi.
How's it going?
Yeah, great, great. Cold? Ugh, boy, it's cold.
I agree with that one 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Just no more running for me, that's it. I'm staying in. Well, today anyway, just freezing your asses off out there. Oh, no, too cold. Oh, I think we're going to have like one. This is cold for already, we're not even, in the middle of the winter yet. We're just starting out and it's already freezing here. Oh, anyway, more complaining.
Oh, I hear you, though.
I say it's cold.
We need to get into those. We need to get into those nice, warm, juicy apples. So forget the cold.
Right.
I don't know. I heard it was pomegranates. Oh, wait. Maybe I'm confused. Just saying. And just a long story. We don't want to, Well, just ignore me. Anyway. Pam, it's your baby. I'm going to let you rock it.
All right, sounds good. We're going to go ahead and start out with a classic poem, A Dish of Peaches in Russia by Wallace Stevens. And it goes like this. With my whole body I taste these peaches. I touch them and smell them. Who speaks? I absorb them as the angevine absorbs Anjou. I see them as a lover sees. As a young lover sees the first buds of spring and as the black Spaniard plays his guitar, who speaks? But it must be that I, that animal, that Russian, that exile, for whom the bells of the chapel pullulate sounds at the heart. The peaches are large and round, and red, and they have peach fuzz, They are full of juice and the skin is soft. They are full of the colors of my village. and the fair weather, summer, dew, peace. The room is quiet where they are. The windows are open. The sunlight fills. The curtains, even the drifting of the curtains, slight as it disturbs me, I did not know that such ferocities could tear oneself from another home. All right. And Naomi, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Oh, wow. You know, when you stare at fruit, you know, you can go in so many different directions. That's what I loved with your the contest you put up. So you can get really creative. But this is, oh, my gracious, it's just so, no wonder it's, you know, it's classic. It's, you know, taken from that dish of peaches here. And there's so much weaved into this, you know. I love as a young lover sees the first bud of spring and as the black Spaniard plays his guitar. And in the question of, you know, who speaks. And then when he gets down to they are full of colors of my village, the fair weather, summer, dew, peace. And then he describes the room there. And this is just, you know, just such a brilliant, beautiful write. A great choice, Pam. Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I thought it fit really well with the topic. There was actually quite a few options. Now, I like, this one is very unique in its setup. It threw me off a little bit at first with the reading of it because of the way that the couplets are set up and the punctuation. But what I really like about this poem is you can look at it on the upper layer as being all about enjoying, you know, peaches, but there's something very metaphorical in the idea. And then it brings some things to mind, such as, you know, if I remember right, now, isn't Georgia a state in the the Soviet Union? Yeah, and then so, you know, you connect the idea of peaches in Georgia. And then the reference to the fluttering curtain, I feel like there's something about here that has a sense of patriotism to it, but also speaks on how perhaps at that time life behind the Iron Curtain was in a kind of a fluctuation. And I really feel that this is one of those rites, and I you could probably research it, I'm sure. There are probably people out there who already know this. I'm just guessing. I didn't really get a chance to research the poem, but I feel that it can also work on a metaphorical layer for how oftentimes reality disturbs the moment that we're in because it's something that we have to face. So,
yeah, and I think from what you said there, probably the sight of the peace brings the sight of the peach brings that peace that, you know, that maybe wasn't and that fulfillment there that wasn't there behind that iron curtain at all times, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, you know, there's some sensuality here. One thing I discovered from running this contest is people love to mix up fruit and sensuality, which is going to make for some very enjoyable rites.
Absolutely.
And how about you, Jean? Your thoughts on this classic poem.
Eugene, where the heck? I don't know where Eugene is. He's just stuck with what I got to say. You know, I thought it was a great poem. I really did. I thought it was well done, and I liked the references to Russia and, like you said, Georgia. You know, what a clever cause to take that on. And I think that it was just a really nicely done piece, and like you needed me to tell him that, right? But, you know, what can I say? You know, it was just a good choice, Pam, really good choice for the show. And, you know, nicely done. Look at this. We got company in the room. Hello, Melissa. Yes. It's nice to see a face from
it
long
is
ago.
Good to see her.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Woohoo.
So, yeah, I think
all right.
One, Tim.
Up next week. Oh, what was that?
It's a wiener. Wiener. It's a wiener.
Up next, we have Juicy Pineapples by Betty Page. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, sure thing. Juicy Pineapples. Yes, I wear a crown. Might prick ya from the outside. Inside, juicy sweet. I hold no punches. You may cut me. I won't. I'll just keep walking. Toss me in the mix. I'll dance despite my pain. Flavor up a notch. Spiked with some fine rum. Pink label 151. Daddy, bring your gun. I'll intermingle with all those fine pop cherries, whipped cream, strawberries. Bring your banana. My juicy peach on over to your cabana. Then we'll have some fun. I'm so very dangerous as banned on the run. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. You can just tell that Betty had fun writing this. And she wrote to the prompt, the quote, be a pineapple, stand tall, wear a crown, and be sweet on the inside. I did like she had the band, the reference in here to Band on the Run. I thought that was really cool. I really liked Bring Your Banana, My Juicy Peach on Over to Your Cabana. That was just a delightfully fun line. But I like here is that, you know, she just up front, there's kind of this is a combination of sweet and spicy. You know, like she says, you know, inside juicy sweet, but I'll hold no punches. You may cut me. I won't bleed. I'll just keep walking. Toss me in the mix. I'll dance despite my pain. Flavor up a notch. There's this real great combination of softness and strength conveyed in these lines using all kinds of delicious fruit. So excellent use of imagery and very well done. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Oh, yes, I agree. I love that first how she opens up there in that first stanza. Prick you from the outside, you know, so move over because I'm coming in. And I love the attitude and the sass in this one. Yeah, I'm really liking this. You know, it's like, move over, baby. Yeah, I'm here to mingle. And I'll get familiar with all those cherries and whipped cream and strawberries and bring your banana and your juicy peach on over to my cabana. We're going to have a party here. Yeah, this is a great, right, Betty Page. Just delightful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment there. And, Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to say, as soon as I heard the title of this piece, I just chuckled because, you know, Betty's avatar, you know, is just,
oh, yes.
It's all about the pineapples, you know. And so that had me, you know, intrigued right there as to where she was going to head from there. But I thought it was a wonderful piece. And I would like to say, I did have a message the other day saying that Betty was pretty sick. So I hope everybody will, you know, keep her in her thoughts. I just wanted to mention that. I know talk to everybody every day and what have you, so I wanted to make sure I said something. But, yeah, I hope you feel better soon. But this is great.
Yeah,
I got a real kick out of it. I did have to check the calendar to make sure today was Tuesday. But, you know, at this stage, after last week, what the hell? What the hell?
Right, you know? No kidding.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Just too funny. But I thought it was a great take on the prompts, and I thought it was just a great write, and it was fun and enjoyable. So, great job, Betty.
I agree. It was fun and enjoyable. And Do we have anybody on the phones?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, we do. We have a 667 number on the line. 667, who's calling, please?
This is Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hi, everybody.
Glad you could join us.
Going pretty good. Been busy writing all day.
Oh, cool.
Nice. That makes for a good day.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely.
And did you get a chance to read or to hear Betty's poem, Martha?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that's fine. We'll go ahead and move on to the next one. And up next we have Wait Patiently by Weaver of Dreams. And we have a recording for that, so whenever you're ready. So.
Okay, here we go.
As long as time is, as brief as life is, there's a point where I'll always be. Wherever you are, wherever I am, there's a place where we'll always be. But not yet, love, your place is here, to be where we were, not where we'll be.
Thank you, Weaver, for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And she wrote to the prompt, the quote, patience is a tree whose root is bitter, but its fruit is very sweet. And Martha, your thoughts on this poem?
I really like this. It can be taken so many ways, and it's got such a deep and powerful message. And I was just blown away by it. I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, I agree with Martha on this. And to hear her read it, too, you know, I read it previously. To hear her read it, oh, wow, it's just like the peacefulness that came out as she was reading, you know, it made it all that much more powerful. This is a very deep, it's very deep and spiritual with a loving message that love should be patient, I think. And, you know, just a beautiful brevity, so brilliantly composed with the play on words here, though not yet love, your place is here to be where we were, not where we'll be. She just goes back and forth with the wording in here, and it's just brilliant. So great work on this little brevity here, Weaver of Dreams. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I have to agree. It is a beautifully written brevity, and you're right, there is a sense of calm in her reading voice, which is absolutely beautiful. And what I really liked about this brevity is the fact that, to me, it really touched on the idea that love is cultivated with patience. And it's not only that, but the idea that we should be living in the moment, enjoying the moment. As the opening stanza, I think, really sets the tone. As long as time is, as brief as life is, there's a point where I'll always be. You know, the whole idea that to be at any certain point is, you know, where you are meant to be in that time. And I really like how she conveyed that message with three short stanzas, and I thought it was beautifully written. And Phil, your thoughts? And
let me try.
No.
Let me try it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more fun. You know, I thought it was an excellent brevity. I thought it was well read and well expressed, and I thought she did a great job with it. Really nice piece.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I have to agree. And great comments, everybody. All right. And up next, we have The Promise by Grant G. And Phil, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Oh, no. I went to the store. No, no. I was just playing. Okay. Here we go. This is The Promise by Grant G. Year after year, pruning, shaping, prepping for fruit. 7 years, saplings, bushes, flowered shoots. Her garden, lovely scented orchard, enclosed by woods. Apples, pears, oranges, berries will sprout soon. Hose in hand, she sprays water all around her garden. Smiling, she turns around. He sits adoringly watching. Walking towards, she sees tables prepared. Coffee, pancakes, syrup, and honey. End poem. Nice piece.
Wonderful read there, Jean. And this is really, I think, such a beautiful and heartfelt write by Grant. I felt like it represented really well that's, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to take care of the our gardens. We have to take care of our relationships. You know, as I said, I felt like it was a write on the joy of the bounty found in the garden and in love when both are tended well. I really did like how, again, another wonderful brevity. I like the 7 years saplings, bushes have flowered shoots. There's a whole idea of that it, sometimes it takes patience to express and to grow a mature relationship and to grow a mature garden. I did find it absolutely delightful, the ending. Walking toward, she sees tables prepared, coffee, pancakes, syrup, honey. You know, there's something about cooking for somebody, you know, and, you know, especially at breakfast time, because oftentimes breakfast time we tend to just quickly grab something. There's something about cooking, to me, breakfast foods that is a beautiful expression of love, and I just really appreciated that. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with everything you said, Pam. I just, this is just a wonderful, wonderful write here. Like you said, so heartfelt. It's a, like a promise that if you work hard at maintaining something, upkeeping it with care and tenderness, well, that it will bloom. Whether it is a garden or a relationship, you know, and he expresses this so well throughout this write, so beautifully written, really an inspiring piece here, Grant. So bravo on this write.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and there's a real sense of refreshing the soul, as you said. So well expressed there. And Martha, your thoughts?
I love this poem. It made me think of my late husband. He was so into the garden. He just spent hours out there, and he was so happy out there, just found his peacefulness in his garden, and this brought that back to me. It's a beautiful poem.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I like how you added that personal touch into your comment, Martha. And there are some people just, you know, my mother was one of those people too. I mean, she just spent, like your husband, hours in the garden. There, some people, like to them, it's a meditative, it's relaxing. It's kind of where they find their sense of self. So, well said there. And Jean, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
So I thought it was a wonderful brevity. I thought it was well written, gentle imagery throughout, great closing stanza. That was the one you commented on, Pam, and I thought you were so on the money with that. And, yeah, I just thought it was really well done, a great piece. Thank you, Grant. It was nice to read it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Great comments, everybody. All right, up next we have Mountain High, Valley Low by Eric Svensson, and we have a SoundCloud for that.
Okay. I can do that. Here we go.
Mountain High, Valley Low, orchard of oats planted so long ago, good intention seeds inserted, laid to rest in fertile soil, devoted dedication's toil. Thunder, blunder, thump, insertion days, distracted toss of intention, seeds ricochet off rocks, fowl of the air had a field day, kamikaze pilots crashed into futile gestures. Mountain high, valley low, eagles soar higher than vultures and buzzards. Thermals are indifferent to airspace usage. They only enable users to see the wood for the trees. Ad lib quip, inserted into rich loam mined soil, seeds guaranteed to sprout. More resilient than the hardiest GMO hybrid seed are thought seeds that inspire, show the way forward. Acreage 2022 stretches before us like the rainforest of the Amazon. Valley High seeds insertion comes down to the valley to plant. Breath of Life acts, Buddy Boy and Ruddy Redhead Girl, plant a tree today, instead of railing against failing fortunes, simply plant a tree. An archaic anecdote, when Mama lost Papa after 51 years of marriage, she walked me past all the trees she planted around the farm homestead. And Papa? Well, he had a fine farm funeral underneath the vast oak tree his Papa planted way back in 1902. Those four oak trees are still succoring our family tree. Farm boy Yad digs trees, for the deeper their roots delve into darkness, the taller and sturdier they soar towards the light. End poem.
Great read there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you can't call into the show, it's the next best to make a recording, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Naomi, your thoughts on Eric's poem?
Oh, wow. This is just makes you want to go out there and shovel the snow away and dig up the dirt and plant seeds. You know, plant that tree. You know, this is just inspirational here. Most brilliant, right, on the importance of respecting and tending to the nature around us, you know, and that personal bit there that he put in that second to last line there has just got me, you know, in the gut there, you know, the way they planted those trees around their farm. And then he ends that last stanza there, for the deeper roots delve into darkness, the taller and sturdier they soar towards the light. That is just amazing, those two lines there. Just a brilliant, brilliant write here, Eric, and so well written, you know, and just bravo on this piece.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up the personal touch of those ending stanzas. I thought I had to agree with you. What I really liked, though, is when you made your comment and you mentioned that this poem made you want to, like, run out, dig up out the snow and start planting in the soil. And there is something about the energy of this poem that really just kind of pulsates into your mind and does give you that kind of craving, that desire to just feel that fresh, rich soil, and you know, to plant the seeds. And I thought it was just a really well expressed there when you said that. And Martha, your thoughts?
I thought it was wonderful. It was it made you think about what a wonder a tree is and what a privilege we have to be able to plant them and watch them grow and enjoy having them around us. And also what a travesty it is when people cut trees down for no reason.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That was really well expressed there, Martha, because there is something so beautiful about any tree, even trees that aren't fruit trees, but especially fruit trees. You know, I remember, you know, we used to have a single apple tree in this one house that I lived in, like right in the backyard. And it wasn't a whole lot, one small apple tree, but it was something that made that yard special. And like sometimes people, we do have to cut down trees for reasons, obviously, and that's where it's natural, smart use of natural resources is important. Like, you know, if you have companies that plant trees in place of the ones they cut down, I think that's a very important step towards giving back. So, excellent comment there, Martha. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I have to say that I thought this was an excellent reminder to nurture all that you care about. And I think it was an excellent piece by Eric, as always. So, yeah, he did a great job with it. I like his thoughts in this.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there. Yeah, I really like how he started out with orchid of aughts planted so long ago, like the idea of we ought to plant a tree, we ought to plant a bunch of trees because they will mean something to future generations. I like how he oftentimes puts in song references. I like mountain high, valley low, eagles soar higher than vultures and buzzards. But that, I think, makes for a really great metaphor, and the whole idea is that vultures and buzzards are those who are always looking for trouble rather than taking care of the world. I also liked the line, more resilient than the hardiest of GMO hybrid seeds. There's this wonderful sense of the maturing of thought when it comes to the mind and to what we plant inside our mind. And the personal touch, as Naomi said in the last couple of stanzas, where, you know, after his papa's funeral, him and his mother are walking around and looking at the four oak trees, I thought was really just a really nice, heartfelt touch to the end of the poem. And I thought this was very well done. And
I have a friend that plants trees. He collects them. And he's almost planted a million trees.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I think it's really important for people to, take care of this earth, and part of taking care of this earth is taking care of trees. So that's a beautiful thing your friend does there, Martha.
Yes.
For sure.
All right. And up next, we have Spring Apples by Tri Tran. And Martha, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Spring Apples by Tri Tran. Crimson apples dazzle in springtime, fresh and crispy, so tasty to the palate. This outdoor market lures shoppers to the apple kiosk, and those bright fruits dazzle those eyes. Fresh and crispy, so tasty to the palates. Apples are here once a year in the sunny March. And these bright fruits dazzle those eyes. The price is only $5 a pound. Apples are here once a year in the sunny March. Those exquisite fruits come to town for 2 weeks only. The price is only $5 a pound. Hurry, springtime. now here, and these apples are so cheap. And poor.
Great read there, Martha. And I thought this was a beautifully written pantoum, with the repetitive lines. And what I liked about this is that, well, first of all, I got to learn something. Like, like most places of the United States, apples are fairly common, fairly cheap fruit. And I very much enjoy apples. They're one of my favorites, and there's so many uses for them. But it's really interesting to see a poet from another country, not from another country. I thought he was. Okay, never mind. Okay, well,
he's from California.
Yeah, California. Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, that's another country. For some reason, I thought he was, but okay, never mind. Well, okay, apparently apples are a little more expensive in California. Because we do not pay $5 a pound, but what I really like about this is that it was filled with attention to detail, a wonderful pantone. But the other thing is this so much reminds me of when I used to go to the farmer's market on Saturday mornings, and they'd have all the separate stands, and there would be fruits and vegetables, and even people selling, like the Amish people selling homemade baked goods or homemade, another popular one around here is homemade honey, like fresh honey, fresh maple syrup. And there's a certain kind of energy, a peaceful energy to just slowly browsing the farmer's market and taking time to talk to people. And I really felt like within those lines, and especially the second stanza, that he captured that idea of being there at the farmer's market. So just a wonderful write and very well done. And Martha, your thoughts?
I loved it. I think it's wonderful the way it celebrates the apple. It's also one of my favorite fruits, and I love to go to the farmers markets and look around and pick out things. It's a wonderful way to spend the morning. I can stay there all day almost. But I thought this poem, I thought it was great.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to tell you, Martha, if you love apples and you ever find yourself in Wisconsin, come in October and go to Bayfield, Wisconsin. They have an apple fest every October. Mm-hmm.
It is.
There is games, and there's all kinds of delicious food, including apple sausages, caramel apples, apple cider. I mean, you name it, it's there. And we like having those kind of festivals, like cranberry festivals, apple festivals. If there's a food, we'll find a way to celebrate it.
I like that.
Any excuse to party.
What's that?
I said, any excuse to party.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh, and I'm in.
There you go.
Have that
apple festival,
have that apple
for all
wine.
Four of us, ladies. There you go.
Yeah, now you're talking now.
And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, well, I wish we had apples in March. We have to wait also to the end of the summer, you know, way into the fall before we get apples that are ripe enough to pick here. But I'm right in the middle of apple country here. I don't know, do you guys get the apple juice Rougemont or not?
Do we have this?
Probably not, no.
But anyway, that's a big, big company there, Rougemont, and it's the little town. It's like a really little town that's right next door to where to the town I live in, and it's called the Rougemont, and they have like apple orchid, orchards of apples and apples and apples and apples for, you know, you just see them growing all the way up the mountain hills and across the fields everywhere. And they have a company there called Red Mount would be, that would be the translation, I guess, in the English. And they make their apple juice. And yeah, they have a, like you said, a big festival there every year too. And but coming back to this rite, yeah, this is just a yummy, delicious rite. You know, it just leaves me wanting to crunch into a delicious, juicy, fresh apple, and just celebrate. You know, celebrate the product, the beautiful apple that the earth gifts us with. And it's so well written here, Tree Tran, and just a brilliant write. Bravo. Just amazingly written throughout.
Absolutely. Absolutely well said there. And so, your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was nicely done. Let me see what I wrote, because, you know, of course, I'm never right there. That'd be too much like, right? I thought it was a nicely penned piece, and it made me crave a basket of apples. It just gave me that thought of, ooh, yeah, nice crisp apple. It sounds good. It sounds good, especially since it's cold and we don't get apples until fall. So we'd already be past all this. See? That's the whole thing right there. Yep, yep. Great job.
Absolutely. Yeah, very cool. Excellent comments, everybody. And, all right, let's see what we got next. I think it's probably been a while since I read somebody's poem. I think I've been putting everybody else to work. And, all right, so up next we have Golden Delicious by Rich F. And it goes like this. I wait here now, a golden apple, bittersweet, my tasteful texture, smooth and well-rounded to your touch, squeeze me strongly, watch my spirit seeping, oozing out, how I hid my perfect pleasures, gifts emerged, so buried deep inside, coily. For many a passing day, I watched you walking deep down below in the orchids of your life, pathways to take you hither and thither, as you sang your sweet songs, searching for fickle fruit spoiled for choice, among the wistful waving, dancing comely apple trees, calling coyly oh so gently on the summer citric breeze, pick me, and somehow you would never choose my tree, as I waited silently, patiently, praying helplessly to all of the fruit gods and goddesses, Eros, hear my prayer. I am but your humble servant, a poor pipsqueak. Oh, please, please, pray, please, let her pause, settle, stand a while in the sultry summer sun and pick me. And now finally my tip pulse racing, calling silently in joyful refrain. You at last settle, stand a while, lift your angel face, ignite your sunny smile, and climb, climb, climb my tree towards my branch. I shiver, quiver, squeak with excitement, pure, pure pleasure as you reach out to pick your tantric treasure, your juicy, fruity sugar treat. I cannot comprehend, believe, you are at last reaching out for me. Poem. Wow. I have to say, I think that one would have been really nice in one of our men's voices if one of them had been around. Hint, hint. But I did find that absolutely just a stunning use of an extended metaphor. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, that was an amazing read there, Pam. Yeah, this is just a delightful write, which also holds a deep need and longing inside. But, you know, with a playfulness. And yeah, I take this as an extended metaphor of the picking of the apple as the choosing of a lover here. And it's so brilliantly composed that you know, it's subtly put in there, you know, along every line, that it's just such a brilliant write here. And I love so many of these lines, you know, search for fickle fruits, boiled for choice, among the wistful waving, dancing calmly, apple trees calling coyly, oh so gently on the summer citric breeze. Pick me. There's just a sensuality throughout this piece too, that it just sings this piece, you know, and just so beautifully composed. So bravo, Rich. Just an amazing, amazing write here.
Absolutely. I really liked how you noticed that this was an extended metaphor for, or could be an extended metaphor for, the choosing of a lover. You're right when you say this is a piece that sings. So great observations there. And Martha, your thoughts?
I really like this. I like to take and write poetry where I place myself in the place of the person or the, you know, of an object, either one, and try to look at life from the perspective, like he did, the perspective of the apple. And I think that's really fun, and he did a really great job.
Oh, absolutely. And you're right, that is fun to do, to put yourself in a different mindset, to look at life from the perspective of another person, a made-up character, or even by personifying an object such as a piece of fruit. So great observations there. And I really liked this. As always, I'm just a big fan of Rich F's poetry. This does have a wonderful alliteration throughout, a really nice rhyme and flow to it. I do like how there is this kind of sensuality, how I hid my perfect pleasure, gifts submerged so very deep inside, coyly. And to me, he wrote to the prompt one, which was, he that would eat fruit must climb the hill. And he says, in my poem, I replace hill with tree. And I think there's a similar quote to the idea that the best fruit grows at the top of the tree, whereas the rotten fruit is, you know, easy for anybody to pick. And what I liked about this is the whole idea of that kind of that wanting to be found. And it touched really well, too, on the idea of patience that from the other quote, even though it was written to the first one. But I really felt like there was this idea of knowing that eventually the right person would come along and choose. And so just a really stunning write all the way through. And I also liked his play on words, like my pip pulse racing, or to use the word pipsqueak, because the fact that an apple seed is called a pip. So I thought that was just really clever wordplay, and it was very well done. And Jean, your thoughts on Rich's poem?
You want me to have a thought on this poem? This was a fabulous poem.
Or two, if you, yeah. I mean, at least two thoughts.
Yes. And you just keep asking for more. No, I'm only kidding. I'm just saying. I thought this was an absolutely fabulous poem. It was it's like everything else Rich writes. It was detailed. It was, greatly expressed. It was, like, he didn't forget anything in here, and he gave us all something to think about. I love the fact that it was a sensual piece, but it wasn't over the top, and it just, I don't know, it's just one of those pieces that sparkles all the way through, or shines. I guess shines is a better word. Sparkles is silly to me. But it does. It shines, you know, as we go along through the whole piece itself, and it just was just such a great, great, right. You know, I thought it was wonderful work. And I thought, I think you really did an excellent job with it, for sure. You know, I'm not very articulate, but I get my point across. I liked it.
Yes, I have to say. And I like that you used the word sparkle, the phrase sparkles and shines, because I think that perfectly captures that poem there. So very well said. And all right,
from the title too, Golden Delicious. It's one of my favorite apples. Oh, those golden delicious apples.
Yes. Yep. They are. Yeah. And Golden Delicious are honestly not one of them. If I'm talking apples, I like a Honeycrisp, a Gala, a Braeburn. Golden Delicious, I have never been one of my favorites. Those and Red Delicious, I find to be too, the term I would call mealy. Like, I'm just not a big, they're not
the mealy
crisp
apple
enough for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're softer, inside.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sam likes to find that when you go to bite it and you go to pull it away, you feel like you're going to pull your teeth out with it. That's what Sam likes. That's the kind of feeling.
Exactly.
I know.
Well said there, Jean.
It's not that. It's the way it feels. It's like, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't pull so hard. Anyway, I'm just playing. I'll shut up now.
Oh, my gosh. That is so true, though. So true. And all right. Well, Naomi, your poem is up, so go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Okay. I'm going to put a damper on everything with this poem. We had all these refreshing rites. Okay, this is called Exotic Fruit. We picked each other as we ripened, bit in as nectar escaped to our chins, enraptured by the tingly scent, enticing us, exciting us, feasting on secrets within. The taste left tiny prickles on our lips, but was fresh on the tongue, quenching our thirst, our love, an exotic fruit. In pulpy, complex cuts, precision with a tiny knife that stung the insides of our mouth. But it fed us with vitamins, and we sucked in its juice. But soon we leaned towards different suns, fermented and consumed, our two halves hollowed out and squeezed until we had nothing left to give but bitter, sour, barely sweet, twisted seeds that scratch down deep in the pit of our belly, burning acidic aftertaste of rotting pink flesh, our shiny green skin faded, waving farewell to decay. End poem.
Bravo, Naomi. That was just a wonderful read. And I have to say, I really liked this. You know, short, impactful lines, wonderful use of imagery, and a kind of an extended metaphor for the way a relationship starts out and often goes into that farewell of decay. One of my favorite things about running contests and doing shows is to see what people get from the same prompt or the same theme. Like the idea that you can have 20 different poets write on the topic of fruit and get different ideas from it. And what I like is that on a, you know, upfront level talking about fruit itself, it very much does go through, like, life, a kind of cycles. You know, there's that idea of, you know, ripened, of enjoyment, of being at that perfect time to just enjoy. You know, and it feels, you know, wonderful. But then slowly, and what I like is then, as I was saying, this is a wonderful metaphor for the idea of how a relationship can fall apart, you know, and especially when it's all about being enraptured by the sensuality of somebody. And then I really liked in pulpy complex cuts, our love and exotic fruit in pulpy complex cuts, precision with a tiny knife. And precision with a tiny knife really stood out to me because to me it spoke strongly on the idea that sometimes it's not big fights, sometimes it's not big wounds that make a relationship fall apart, but rather just those little pokes that keep happening over and over again. And, you know, so really just a strong right all the way through with gave much thought, thoughtful lines, and just very well done, Naomi.
Thank you, Pam.
And Martha, your thoughts?
I really liked it. It gave me chills. It started out so nice and it ended so sad, but it was just a great ride. I really loved it.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you, Martha.
And Jean, your thoughts? And your thoughts off of mute.
Well, you're going to have to hang on a minute because now we have a phone call. Smarty Pants.
Oh, okay.
We have 270. 270, who's calling, please?
This is Wayne Gent.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne. Glad you could call.
Yeah, glad to be here. I'm just getting over that COVID thing, so I'm trying to get my strength back together. So, but I mean, everything's going good.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm glad, nice. You're, glad you're recuperating. That's important. Good stuff.
That is. Absolutely. Well, you know, if you have a right that fits with the theme of fruit, go ahead and put it on the topic board, Twisted Tuesdays 111-22, Baskets of Fruit.
I just put it on the board a little while ago.
Oh, you did. Yeah. I just guess I need to refresh. Very cool. Thank you, Wayne.
You're refreshing.
All right. And awesome. Awesome. Now, all right.
Hang on.
Oh, okay.
God, she's so quick to run past me. So Naomi, I think that this was a wonderful piece. I love the metaphor, like top to bottom. You just, you know, carried that thought so well through. You know, some people can and some people can't. Sometimes they drift off of the metaphor, and I think that you really aced it all the way. So it was a brilliant piece. And very well expressed, and I think your emotions were very well conveyed through this. So, nice work. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well said there, Phil. And, Wayne, did you get a chance to read or hear Naomi's poem?
No, I didn't get to hear it. I'm trying to read it right now. I'm about a third of the way through it right now. I'm just reading it right now. It's a very interesting poem.
Well, I'll get a comment from Martha. And Martha, your thoughts?
I already commented.
Oh, you already commented. Okay, that's right. I'm sorry. All right. Yes, you did. All right. And
Pam.
What's that?
I said, Pam, how did you feel about it? I know you already commented, too. I was trying to be funny.
All right. And Naomi, did you want to say anything about your poem?
Oh, I just want to thank you, Pam, because, you know, we're in the cold of winter and, you know, these prompts with these delicious fruit, they warm your soul. Well, they warmed me up. So just a great contest, you know, great prompts and great images and, you know, just delicious for this time of year, I found.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and I'm glad you were inspired. All right, and I'll go ahead and grab the next right. And all right. Now, up next, we have My Basket of Fruit by Martha Gettle, and we have a SoundCloud for that. So, Phil, whenever you're ready.
Here I go. Here it goes.
My Basket of Fruit by Martha Gettle. My life is like a basket of fruit. There's so many kinds for me to choose. The apple of desire catches my eye, while the peach of seduction lights my fire. Chocolate-covered strawberries make me burn, and with pink champagne into a seductress I turn. And baby, what's in my basket of fruit? That's what I want to share with you. So baby, bring me the peach of your love. You know you're all I'm dreaming of. And you know I can light your fire with my melons of sweet desire. For your berries of love I'd walk a mile, and I'd love you to linger in my melon patch a while. And baby, your banana drives me up a tree. Darling, you make a monkey out of me. So baby, bring me the peach of your love. You know you're all I'm dreaming of. And you know I can light your fire with my melons of sweet desire. Darling, come nibble on my cherry, and let's make love and be merry. Just think how sweet it will be, you sharing my basket of fruit with me.
Great write and sing there, Martha. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. I have to tell you, Martha, this is a poem that I can tell you had fun writing. It made me smile. It is absolutely delightful, and I'm looking forward to commenting more on it. But first of all, I'm going to get a couple other thoughts. So let's go ahead and start with Wayne. Your thoughts on Martha's poem?
Oh, this is just excuse me. This is a lovely poem song. I like the way she said. I like the melons of your sweet desire. That's pretty cool right there. And she did a great job with the song, great job with the wording, and it's just that's a lovely poem all the way through. It's a really good poem. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, I just chuckled a couple along with these lines when I first read it, and there's such a fun twist of playfulness and you know, a delicious delightfulness all through this poem. And I love how you were able, Martha, to pick out so many kinds of fruit, you know, that are present in a fruit basket and incorporate them into this rite. It's just amazing, you know. You went from the apples to the strawberries to the, you know, all the way down to the peaches, and then the melons, the banana, and you know, the cherries, and you know, you just put them all in there, and you kept the rhyme so true, and the rhythm of it all throughout it. This is just a tour de force, like they say in French. You know, it's just amazing hear this right. I loved it, Martha.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I like how you call this, Naomi, delightfully delicious, because it is. And wonderful use as fruit as double entendres. There were parts that really just made me chuckle and made me smile, especially with that stanza, for your berries of love I'd walk a mile, and I'd love you to linger, catch baby, you, but your banana drives me up a tree, darling, you make a monkey out of me. There's a wonderful combination of sensuality and humor within these lines. But what I also liked is the use of the line, light my fire, as a nod towards the Dole song, come, you know, light my fire. I thought that really added a nice extra look to it. So just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done. And Martha, Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, when I first saw the basket of fruit prompt, I thought, now what in the world am I going to write to a basket of fruit? I thought about it for a couple days, and then all of a sudden my mind just took off on it, and that's what came out.
Oh, that's always so much fun when that happens, because, yeah, somebody will get a prompt and think, what am I going to do with this? And, well, I'm glad your muse finally took off and was inspired. Very cool. Very cool. All right. And we're going to go ahead and move on to the next poem, which is Let Them Grow by Kel Smiles. And Wayne, will you give that a read for us, please?
Well, I'd rather not, because my voice isn't quite right yet to do much reading. I kind of have my voice back quite yet, so I'd rather not try to read tonight if I can't just...
Sure. No problem. I'll go ahead and give this one a read. Let Them Grow by Kel Smiles, and it goes like this. Prepare the land for planting. Nursery provides the saplings, every variety of fruit trees, apple, pear, plum, cherries. Unless you live further south, might take a different route. Oranges, lemons, and limes grow best in warmer climes. Now they're ready, let them grow. Seasons change as the wind blows. Waiting isn't easy, everyone knows. Keeping busy, time isn't as slow. Build an arbor for grapes and roses, sunflowers, morning glory posies, plant bulbs of lilies, tulips, hyacinth. Create a garden with floral labyrinth. If waiting is still too difficult to handle, grow vegetables for the dinner table, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and peppers. Share with friends, family, and bachelors. Place a bistro with benches and chairs under trees with a shady atmosphere. Eventually, enjoy the fruits of your patience wins out in your flavorful favor. End poem. Wow, that was a bit of a tongue twister, those last two words. And Wayne, your thoughts. And Wayne, are you on mute?
Yeah, I was on mute, I'm sorry. This is a wonderful poem she wrote. It's well balanced and has great flow. And it sets a wonderful mood, and just, it's a pleasant poem to read. She did a good job on this.
Absolutely. And Martha, your thoughts?
Oh, I love it. It's so much like the preparation and the think about gardening. And I love to think about gardening. It's one of my favorite things to do. I thought it was a wonderful write.
Absolutely. And... yeah, and Naomi, your thoughts?
This is a brilliant write here by Kel. I love the line, you know, seasons change as the wind blows. Waiting isn't easy, everyone knows. Keeping busy, time isn't as slow. And then, you know, the rest of it. And I had a kick out of what she put the word bachelors in there. I can just imagine that she put that in, you know, just for fun, you know, knowing how Kel is. Share with friends, family, and bachelors. Bring them on. Yeah, I greatly enjoyed this write. And, you know, the beautiful rhythm and rhyme throughout. And there's awesome imagery and a wonderful, profound message on the importance of patience here. So this is a just brilliant composition all through here, Kel. Just bravo on this write.
Absolutely. I have to agree. I too liked the part where she mentions passing out the fruit to bachelors. I thought that was a great sense of humor within those lines. And I like that there's a really nice rhyme and flow to this. She wrote to the quote, "The day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit." I also like how informative this rite is, that she reminds us that different kinds of fruit grows best in different kinds of culture and different kinds of soil. And I even like that you bring the flower garden in, or the idea of the vegetable garden. You know, the honestly, my dream garden would have everything and anything you need to make homemade salsa. That would be my dream garden. Yep. But, yeah, just a wonderful rite on, I really like, now they're ready, let them grow. Seasons change as the wind blows. Waiting isn't easy, everyone knows. Keeping busy time isn't as slow. I really felt that was some very thoughtful lines, and the idea that life is always changing, and, you know, it takes patience. So wonderful lines and very well done. And all right. I'm going to go ahead and grab the next poem and tell you what. Martha, since you had a SoundCloud for yours, I'm going to go ahead and give you a shorty to read, Selflessness by R.G. Kamal. Will you go ahead and give that a read for us, Martha?
Sure. Selflessness by R.G. Kamal. The person who plants the fruit trees must be the most soulless. He shows he knows he will never eat its fruits, for it will take very long to bear them. He plants them for the future folks. End poem.
Wonderful read there. And RG just has a real talent for writing mega brevities. And I thought this was great all the way through, and I really like how it expressed how the unselfish spirit of a person who plants trees, because they do it for future generations and not for the instant gratification. And I think it works well on a metaphorical level, too, with the idea of any seed that you plant in life is for future generations, more so than, you know, whatever pleasure you may get out of it in the moment. And so, Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, when I read this, I just went, oh, wow, that's so true, you know. You know, if you plant a fruit tree, you know, you have to be selfless because, you know, not for your own satisfaction, that's for sure, because it takes years for those trees to produce fruit, you know, and grow up and be mature enough to hold fruit within their branches. So that was my first instinct there, to just go, yeah, wow, you know. So this really made me think, you know, and stand back and go, yeah, it's great that the way he came. I thought this was very, really witty, you know, the way he came up with this. And a great thought expressed here on the importance of just being, you know, selfless. And, yeah, so thank you a lot, RG, for this brevity here that made me just stop and think for a while. So bravo.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Martha, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it, the expression of the selflessness it takes to plant a tree and nurture it and care for it, knowing that it will be someone else that enjoys the fruits of it. But it was very well done and well expressed.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely well said there. And welcome back, Jean. I'm going to go ahead and move on to you're right, Wayne, and would you like Naomi to read it for you?
I'm going to try to read it because I'm trying to get my voice to go work again because I hadn't spoken much in the last couple of weeks. So I'm trying to exercise my voice a little bit. So, but this poem that R.G. wrote was a very good poem. It takes a lot of patience to plant fruit trees, and it takes a lot of faith, too. And the planter is definitely not selfish. He knows what the fruit is going to bear, and he's got to be proud of what he's done because, you know, he knows what's going to happen in the future. he has to be proud of what he's done. So it's a very good poem he wrote here. I enjoyed it. Would you have me read my poem?
What's that?
Oh. Would you like me to read my poem?
Yes. That's why I put it on the board.
Okay. I wasn't looking at the poem. I wasn't looking at the board yet. It's called, I took the prompt about patience is a tree whose root is bitter, but the fruit is very sweet. I took that prompt and wrote a poem. It's called It Is a Virtue. It goes like this. Patience is a tree whose root is very bitter, but its fruit is very sweet. Take your time to see. Relax. Don't be a quitter. Knowing the right time is neat. Give it time to let it grow. There are things that can't be rushed. Good things have to take root. Patience is taking things slow. Paintings need to be gently brushed. Must wait for the best fruit. Do the first things first, and then do them right. Do them right away. If it's not time, then wait. Don't make a bad day worse. Rome wasn't built in a day. Patience will make it great. You have to wait for grapes to make wine. It takes patience to raise a child. Don't hurry just to get it done. Take it easy, you'll be fine. Live quietly, don't be loud. It's up to you to make life fun. Be patient, it'll be over soon. Then you can look back and smile. Smell the roses and have a gentle ride. Life should be a mellow tune. Who cares if it takes a while? Remember, God is on your side. Ian?
Great read, Wayne. I'm glad you shared that right with us. Thank you. Gene, your thoughts?
I think you did a nice job with this poem, Wayne. I like your take on the prompt, and I have to say that I really thought you did a nice job with words to the wise. Let's put it that way, or words from the wise. It's good advice all the way through. I mean, people do have to remember to be patient, because otherwise, you miss so much. You can't be angry and get where you want to go. It doesn't all work. It's not cohesive. So,
right.
I think you did a good job. Nice work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is a great writer, Wayne. Very philosophical. And there's a serene feeling that surrounds the lines of this poem. The way you use all those examples of when you need patience, it takes patience to make the wine and it takes patience to raise a child. And, be patient. It will be over soon. Then you can look back and smile, smell the roses, have a gentle ride. Life should be a mellow tune. Who cares if it takes a while? Remember, God is on your side. And, just to be in sync with yourself and with your spiritual side and just, follow your path and then look ahead, instead of always trying to better things and making your journey maybe more exciting and more, wild and everything. Just take it easy and take your time and just, mellow and just go with the ride, And this is just amazingly well expressed throughout here, Wayne. I just beautiful, beautiful write. I just enjoyed this so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi, for the comment.
Well said there, Naomi. And Martha, your thoughts?
I really like it. It's extolling the virtue of patience and how it fits into our lives. And I thought it was a really great write, and I especially like the last verse.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Martha.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I really liked how this was a philosophical and spiritual, how it touched on, as was said, the virtues of patience. And I, too, really liked the line that about how it takes patience. Have to wait for grapes to make wine. It takes patience to raise a child. Don't hurry just to get it done. I thought those were just beautiful and thoughtful lines. And I also really like give it time to let it grow. There are things that can't be rushed. Good things have to take root. And I like that you use the idea of the root of the plant or the root of the tree as an example for what's really important to tend to. So I'm really glad that you were inspired by the quote and that you called in. It's good
thank
to hear
you
from
much.
You. Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
You.
And
if
was there anything you'd like to say about your poem?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I just say, all I can say is, if y'all haven't had the brush with COVID, it's a beast. It almost got me down during Christmas. I was, had a bunch of kids over here for a party, and they gave me COVID, and that got me down. So I'm just now getting over it, and glad to be back and talk to people again. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And,
I'm glad to be back.
Yep. That's for sure. I'm glad that you're on the mend.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to get there.
What's that?
I said it's a tough one talking about COVID.
It's unfortunately it's just a sad reality of life, but it is. Yeah.
Amen.
All right, and. Up next, we have Martin Luther, The World Has Gone to Pieces by S. Sharp. And we have a SoundCloud for that. So, Jean, whenever you're ready.
There you go.
Martin Luther, The World Has Gone to Pieces. I sit in the shade of your tree, O Martin. The seed you planted so many years ago, your pen on the Jews and their lies, your sin that so few realize. No one can give thee plenary indulgence as they milked blood from the apple, impure emulgence upon the Jews' heart and home. Bury and cover with dirt whatever will not burn, so that no man will ever again see a stone or cinder of them. And after the Holocaust, the sky will be their urn, as the tree you planted bore fruit at Nuremberg rallies held proudly above heads, precursor to Auschwitz, where memories burned, where I will bury your hatred, and it will mix with bone ash. Fertilizer for flowers of hope for a better world. And now I will cut down your tree.
Great read there, S. Sharp. It's always good to hear a new reader make a SoundCloud, and those are very much appreciated. I thought this was a really thought-provoking and hard-hitting write. I'm not going to read them, but I highly recommend that when people get a chance to read his author's notes, because I found them to be really intriguing and informative. And this was, he took a darker approach, but I think it's on an important subject, on the idea of so many times how people use plant trees of hate. In fact, that was my response, an excellent response poem to The Chosen Prompt. I enjoyed and appreciated how informative this piece is. It speaks strongly on the idea that seeds are sometimes planted in the soil of hate and some trees should be chopped down. I also felt there was this whole idea of how people will oftentimes misuse information, whether it's from the Bible or wherever to almost as if to give themselves permission to be vile human beings and to treat other people that they're not like, they're not human. I like that he touched on the atrocities of the Holocaust. And as he mentioned, Boer Food at Nuremberg rallies held proudly above heads precursor to Auschwitz. I like that he brings up the Nuremberg rallies as the idea of, you know, that which set in motion the events of the Holocaust. Really, I know it's a dark write on a difficult subject, but I think that's the amazing thing about poetry, is that there's poetry you can read, and it's beautiful and fun, and it's lighthearted, and then there's poetry that really just hits hard and makes you think, and I think that's very important, and so just an excellent write. And
I love this. I have read many poems and many stories about the Holocaust, but this is expressed in such a way that I've never seen it before, but I really loved it, and especially the last line was very powerful.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was really, surprised when I read this, and I read the his footnotes there that he provided afterwards, which I want, like you said, we want to read, but everybody should read that, you know, when after they've read this poem to get a greater grasp of it. And, you know, it is, like you said, Pam, very hard-hitting poem, and it brings us a piece of history. And I'm always happy to learn something new each day, and this taught me something, you know, so I'm thankful for that, you know, this piece of history here that he brought to our attention. And a very thought-provoking piece all through, great right, you know, it's very well composed too, and it reminds us of the importance of words, you know, words that are written down, words that stay, words that can influence people, you know, to sometimes interpret them and use them for their own selfish ways. So the importance of the written words, you know, that stay, and to be careful, you know, with what you write down. And, just a brilliant piece all through. So bravo on this.
Absolutely. Well said. And Phil, your thoughts.
Well, you know, I think Mr. Sharp, our poet, S. Sharp, S. I don't know what S stands for, sorry. I think he did it. I think
I think it's
a well-written
Scott.
Piece. Thank you. I knew I saw it somewhere, but it must be, there it is, all the way down there. I think that he did an excellent job with the piece. It was well-written. And it was definitely food for thought. And it was, it came from a whole different angle than anything else we've read tonight, which kind of just goes to show, you know, you give out prompts and things kind of come back in a different way, you know, that's the fun of it. Like I said before, you know, you can have one picture and have 15 people write to it, and every write will be completely different. And I think that this just goes to prove that theory. And, great job, Scott. And thank you so much.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Great comments, everybody. All right. Up next, we have The Apple Tree by Sea Glass. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yeah. Good night, one, by the way. Take care. Okay, this is The Apple Tree by Sea Glass. The sweet apple tree is pie, applesauce and cider for me, but it's sharp and sweet fruit is a history of serious blame. on women for centuries. The biblical tree of guilt, wisdom, and strife is a cloud of blossom in springtime, alive with bees and bird song, and in winter, its leafless black branches lace amber sunset skies. And long before the snaky Adam and Eve tale, Gaia gifted Greek gods Zeus and Hera an apple tree on their wedding day. An Eris uninvited, gate crashing goddess tossed a golden apple in a rage with the message inscribed to the fairest. Three goddesses, Athena, Hera, and Aphrodite, said the apple to the be theirs, and Zeus told the mortal Paris to choose. Athena bribed Paris with wealth. Hera bartered power, but he took Aphrodite's gift of Helen of Sparta. And so the Trojan Wars began over an apple and the vanity of God and man. For old England, it's the tree of life, food for man, bird, beast, and butterfly. And on the 12th night of Christmas, tradition lights candles and fires. In the orchids, villagers bang pots and pans to ward off ill spirits and sing songs to the trees while pouring apple cider on root and bough. It's called wassailing in England's southwest counties. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. I really liked this poem. Interestingly enough, it's never actually said that it was an apple on the tree in the Garden of Eden. However, throughout the centuries, we have made it an apple, and I think that's in part because we search for answers, and when we can't find them, we kind of fill in the holes ourselves. But I like how she delves into how throughout history, different cultures, different mythologies have used the apple as a center point for their stories. So I thought that was really cool. I even like how she mentioned some of the joy that comes with from the apple, the celebrating, you know, the hot apple cider, and even the game where she says the sweet apple tree is pie, applesauce, and cider for me. You know, right away she tells us this is what the apple tree means to me, but here is what it has meant to other cultures throughout history. Just a really great piece focused on mythology, and I thought very well done. And Martha, your thoughts?
I thought it was really good. I love the way it shows different things. I learned things from it, and I thought it was a really great ride.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was took the apple here and he just, you know, made a well-rounded, you know, account of how the apple throughout the years just was a centerpiece, you know, through history, with tidbits of mythology, and with the mystical and cultural practices, you know, from the England there that he puts in the West Counties there. I think this is just amazing from beginning to end, and I so much enjoyed this piece. Just bravo, Sea Glass, for this. This is a brilliant, amazing light.
Absolutely. And if I remember right, I think wassailing is a Christmas Eve tradition where you go from house to house singing and get served drinks and food. So I personally would not mind doing some wassailing every once in a while. And it sounds like fun to me. And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a very well expressed piece. I thought it was a great sharing of myth and history in a lot of ways. I didn't find it to be just a story. I felt that she put some history into this a little bit, you know, and enough for people to understand and relate to. Now, I know myths are, you know, not truth. Forgive me for those who believe they are. But I think that
well,
it was just
you know,
really
we
well
all have
fun.
Our own myths and we have all have our own truths.
And that is so true. That is so true. So I don't ever want to step on anyone's toes. But, I do the church and state thing. I think that's just a little different than what I consider real. So forgive me for those, for being ignorant to those who believe. but I think it was just a really clever write. And I thought that it was just well written, just a little more intellectual. What's the word I want, Pam? Come on, help me out.
My gosh, I'm out of words. In its presentation,
yeah, you're never out of words. Never mind. I'm going to just stop there. Thank you so much, Sieglis. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but it's okay.
Well, I like that you said you mentioned that this is more than just a story. That you know, it's informative and intelligent. So very well expressed,
mm-hmm.
there, Jean. Great comments, everybody.
You're funny.
And up next, we have "This Fruit Is a Hoot" by Beth Evans. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
This fruit is a hoot. Oh my God. Okay, hang on 1 second. Okay, I hit the button. I hit the button so I can go back now. This fruit is a hoot. My. Okay, "This Fruit is a Hoot" by Beth Evans. I believe the quote is, "Knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad." Uh-huh. Touche. This observation is highly astute. Tomato number one was switched at birth. Since then, they have been classified as fruit. That is what I think, for what it is worth. As an avid tomato consumer, I enjoy them either cooked or left raw. There is no truth in the vicious rumor that I eat them with slices of pawpaw. As for sugar, I refuse to spoil them, since I believe they are quite sweet enough. To add sugar, I would firmly condemn. As it is, we eat far too much sweet stuff. A fruit is a fruit, we know. Unless, of course, it is a tomato. End of poem.
Great read there, Jean. I really enjoyed this poem. I liked that quote that she wrote, too. I thought it was a fun one. And I like how she put in the personal touches. Like, I totally have to agree with her. You know, fresh tomatoes are absolutely the best. They don't need sugar, though I will say I do enjoy sprinkling some salt, a little salt on them sometimes. And, you know, they're great as is, or, you know, toppers for casseroles. I really enjoy the humor in the lines. I enjoy them either cooked or left raw. There is no truth in the vicious rumor that I eat them with slices of pawpaw. Now, there was a clever reference to a fruit that you don't hear much about. So excellent write and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Okay, so pawpaw is another kind of fruit?
It is, yes. Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I was wondering what a pawpaw was. But paw, you know, paw, like a paw. Anyway. I just smiled all through this, reading this. It was just so delightful, you know. And, you know, like you said, Pam, the personal little touches is what makes this such a great write here. And, I love those tomato slices, too, with, you know, salt and pepper, a bit of lettuce there between and mayonnaise and, you know, between two fresh slices of bread. Just heat that up, or tomatoes with bacon. Oh, my gracious.
Oh, yummy.
Bacon, tomato bacon sandwich. Oh, yummy. Yeah, so I just love this little write, you know, just a delightful piece throughout. So just bravo, Beth, for this write. Just awesome.
Absolutely, I have to agree. Well said there. And Martha, your thoughts? Is Martha still with us? I see her.
She's still with us.
I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, no problem.
I love this. I thought it was a really great homage to the tomato, which I love tomatoes, and I think she did an excellent job. It's just a great write.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well said there. And up next we have The Humble Apple by Nan529. And Martha, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Let me get to it here. The Humble Apple by Nan529. Gently light fluttering, bringing with it purity. Sweet smell, fragrance of apples fills the room. Delicate patterns, dress a cream pitcher filled with rice ambrosia. Place carefully my crystal glass of wine to capture the moment in time to immortalize. Each stroke bringing to life my vision of simplicity. Adam's downfall, Satan's gain. To think of religion's ideology rests on a mere piece of fruit, the only fruit given such notoriety in the blessed Garden of Eden. Warm hues of autumn bring life to my work. Reds, golds, and yellows, nature's canvas painted on these apples, as if God himself has painted them, or Midas with his touch of gold. Come, my friend, a toast to this humble fruit and poem.
Great read there, Martha. And I have to say, it's been a long time since I've seen Nan, and it's really good to see her. You know, I always have enjoyed her poetry. And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, I thought this her write was so brilliant. Just breathed new life into that still, painting on that canvas right there. This was a, you know, the great use of color throughout the imagery and the references pulled from the Bible and mythology here made this poem just shine and gave the importance, the all importance to that, you know, what she says, you know, the humble little apple. It took up so much space in religion and in the Bible, and it was the start of sin and everything that unfolded afterwards. So she captured that so very well in this little write, and just so brilliant, this little brevity here. So bravo, Nan.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I thought this was a wonderful write all the way through, but what I particularly like is that it's a celebration of a humble fruit, in the, like in the end line, it says, come, my friend, a toast to this humble fruit. And I also like that it was told from the perspective of the artist. I think she opens up with gently light floods and bringing with its purity and warm hues of autumn brings life to my work. Just a stunning write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts? And Jean?
Oh, you wanted me off mute. I'm sorry. Silly me. I should have known. you know, and I did. I even commented all the way through. I think the man did a great job. I thought it was an awesome take on the prompt. And it was nice to see her work again. I agree with you 100% there, Pam. It's been a long time since I've seen her. So hopefully everything's all right in her world. But definitely a good piece. It was clever. It really was.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have to agree. Well said there.
Yeah.
Up next, we have Origin of Purity by Daniel Deschino. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Oh, yes. One of my favorite poets, Daniel. Origins of Purity. When eating a fruit, think of the person who planted the tree. Purity of nature, like a rare gemstone, non-renewable, from mined out caverns, the civilian casualties of human progress, the genocide from science. So back to the garden, to the simplicity of the planted seed, to the deep-rooted, nurturing call in all of us to water and cultivate, and trees will grow. Life has no greater balance than fruit bearing trees and the hunger of man. What greater symphony conducted from the baton of God than the melody of giving fruit and gathering animals? And to go back to the garden of beginnings, the Eden, the purity, the purest of existence, with the arms of the outstretched man as the basket to hold the fruits that nourish and enrich. In Eden, one only needed to reach and grasp. So unfortunate that creation be an imperfect deity and the mind of man be the fatal mistake. For so much bounty in nature's basket, why did we need the forbidden? The fruits of knowledge of good and evil could only serve to nourish the lust of power and start the war of man and earth. With that most penetrative of violent weapons, curiosity. Age does not matter as we are all children. Mind does not matter as we are all animals. Oh, Mother Earth, I've strayed so far. How I long to taste the fruits of purity, to shade under the nurturing trees from the light of knowledge which I have released. Please take me back home. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. And Martha, your thoughts on Daniel's poem.
Oh, this is a deep, powerful poem that brought out so many feelings and took you to so many places, and I just really enjoyed it. It was a great ride.
Absolutely. I really thought this was beautifully philosophical and spiritual. I like how it's all about finding that sense of connection between and balance between man and nature, and finding the joy in the simple things that this world provides. And putting aside those things of violence and temper. So just an excellent write. And Naomi, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is, like you said, it's so spiritual and philosophical. The view on mankind's selfishness when dealing with their mother, with their mother home, Earth. And, you know, there, it can be, our ways can be, you know, violent, you know, at times, you know. And to also, there's you know, I think there's hope there, you know, for the future. And, you know, he wrote it in such a simplistic, simplest of words here, you know, just so that you can grasp the whole meaning and thought behind this poem. And I think it makes it more powerful and just, you know, so brilliantly well composed all the way through, and so thought deep and powerful and thought provoking in each and every line here. So just bravo, Daniel, and such an excellent write here. Just amazed me. So bravo.
Absolutely. Well said there. And we have one last poem for the night, and that is Apple Tree by Tila. And it goes like this. You are our fave apple tree in our little garden you grew. Every year we enjoyed the little apples you produced, juicy and delicious, so dear to our hearts. Each year seeing the most beautiful white and pink flowers, our hearts bloomed too. Living in a communal garden, through the garden, though the garden belongs to us, but still society members decide one day, I was at work when I came from work. The whole tree was chopped off. I cried my heart out because you had become part of our family. I cried, called the office why they had to destroy our tree. They apologized and also replaced another tree. But we miss our apple tree so much. Hope it doesn't happen to anyone. And poem, this was just a beautiful, heartfelt tribute to an apple tree. And you can feel the that she had such good memories about this tree. And while it was, you know, nice that they apologized and replaced the tree, it's just not the same because it's not the same tree. I think each tree has an individual spirit and personality. And when you become connected to one, it's not quite the same when it is replaced, plus the time it takes before a tree even bears fruit. And so you can feel the sadness and the anger expressed in here, but you can also see how much she truly appreciated this tree for what it offered to her and her family. And I like that she brought up the beautiful white and pink flowers. Our hearts bloomed too. Lines there, and your thoughts on this poem.
Did you say me?
Who?
Oh, Jean.
Jean.
Hello. I thought Sheila did a great job with this piece. And just so you know, Pam, your voice cut out just as you said our name, my name, and it just went blank there, but everything else sounded fine. I was kind of like, huh?
I was waiting. What?
Yeah, it happened to you too, right, Naomi? It was funny. I was like,
yeah.
No sound. But no, this is a great piece. And I thought it was kind of endearing how she spoke of the apple tree. You know, how it was such an important part of their life and their, well, she said their family. And that was pretty great. So wonderful job, Tila, and thanks for sharing with us.
Absolutely. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, this is just really beautiful. It's just the loving memories that she had for this apple tree. And, you know, like you said, Pam, that, you know, although they replaced the tree, you know, it wasn't the same tree. It wasn't the tree that they gathered around and grew alongside of it as the tree was growing, you know, as the community probably grew together, picking apples from this tree and caring for this tree. And a wonderful little bit of personal, personal memories here with this tree that she gave us. So thank you so much, Tila. This is a beautiful, beautiful, heartfelt write, and I so enjoyed this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I have to say, well, make sure to join us a half hour from this show for Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber. Thank you to Martha for calling in. Thank you to Naomi and Phil for being amazing co-hosts. Thank you to Robbie and Argo Wings for hanging out on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show or is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Our shows just wouldn't be the same without you. And I've had a lot of fun tonight. Phil, is there anything that you'd like to say?
Great prompt, Pam, as always. Wonderful job. Tomorrow night. Who's that tomorrow night? Is that Gray?
That's me.
Pam will be doing The Art of Seduction on Wednesday, tomorrow night.
Is that the hush-hush one?
The hush,
yep,
hush one. Are we having
stuff.
A hush, hush one? Oh, hush.
Yes, it is. It's the hush,
hush
topic.
Well, I have to check that out. Hush, hush, make me nervous. And it was a secret. Anyway, wow, you all get me confused. I got enough troubles. But it was a great show tonight, Pam. And, everyone who's free tomorrow night, call in. Join Pam. I know it mm-hmm. her. It should be a live one. And
I know.
Go for your tune in.
And so Wayne, thanks for calling in, Wayne, and hope you feel better. Your voice gets better and you get your strength back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, my thoughts are with you, Neutron Bomb, so I will talk to you after a bit. So everyone take care. Have a great night. It's a great fun night tonight. Lots of fun, lots of good stuff. Lots of good poetry, Pam.
Indeed.
Pam split. That she left. The nerve of her.
Okay.
She'll meet her.
Well.
Oh, and Martha's here. Okay, well, everybody, have a great night, and thanks for joining us.
Okay, good night. Good night, girls. Bye.
Thanks. Good night.